Here in New York yesterday, the stock market followed a course that left the experts gasping. After falling 91 points in the previous 2 weeks, the Dow Jones Industrial Average started the day with another sharp drop. By noon, it was down more than 17 points. Then the Dow suddenly reversed itself and closed up almost 6 points on a volume of 59.5 million shares, the third heaviest in exchange history. But Ray Brady tells us that this about-face was probably only temporary.
Even though the stock market reversed itself yesterday afternoon and rose, most Wall Streeters are not optimistic and expect to see more down days in the market than up. They note that a lot of the selling in the current market has come from investors who bought stocks on margin with borrowed money. When stock prices dropped, those investors either had to put up more money or sell, and many of them chose to sell their stocks. And, say Wall Streeters, there will be more of that forced selling coming. Investors also feel that interest rates will continue to go up as the government tries to slow up inflation. And tight money and high interest rates have always brought grim days to Wall Street. Even with yesterday's rise, the listed value of the stocks on the New York Stock Exchange in just the past 2 weeks has gone down by nearly $100 billion. Wall Streeters are referring to the period as the October Massacre, and they fear it is not over yet. Ray Brady, CBS News, New York.
AFL-CIO President George Meany today is expected to make his first public statement on President Carter's anti-inflation wage price guidelines. Meany will do it at the fall meeting in Washington of the AFL-CIO Executive Council.
3 minutes after eight, and a message from the Wall Street Journal. It is the year of the great tax revolt, and today's journal can tell you who's up in arms. Tax relief plans are on the ballot in 17 states, and today's journal says some victories look likely. That's front page reading in today's Wall Street Journal, right next to the labor letter, which has the word on how a major bank is solving its secretary shortage. And what's heard on the street today? A sobering appraisal of the stock market slump from economist Alan Greenspan. Also in today's journal, a look at those eye-popping profits at UAL, plus an in-depth report on ITT's Supreme Court setback. You'll get all the facts in the Wall Street Journal, all the business news you need when you need it. The Wall Street Journal, and for subscription information, call Collect, 800-325-6400. Collect, 800-325-6400. 4 minutes past eight.
This is Gordon Williams, WCBS business reporter and senior editor of Business Week. Listen for my business reports every weekday morning and afternoon on WCBS New York.
The Egyptian-Israeli peace treaty talks in Washington once again seem to be in high gear. CBS News diplomatic correspondent Marvin Kalb reports the way the situation looks this morning.
For the first time in more than a week, the three delegations, Egypt, Israel, and the U.S., meet today at Blair House. Perhaps it is only the symbolism, but suddenly, after a week of relative gloom, the mood has brightened and the pace of negotiations definitely quickened. Israeli Foreign Minister Dayan, who was usually so reserved in any appraisal of the peace talks, sounded almost upbeat after meeting first with the Egyptians and then with the Americans, saying good progress has been registered and an agreement, in his view, is attainable within a short time. Egypt's acting foreign minister, Boutros Ghali, came out of a meeting with Secretary of State Vance saying it had been a very constructive and positive session. They seem close to deciding on acceptable compromise language on the linkage between the Egypt-Israel peace treaty and any possible solution to Palestinian issues on the West Bank and the Gaza Strip. But no one is confirming this. There are still unresolved issues, and the U.S. is remaining cautious until the entire deal is wrapped up, sealed, signed, and delivered. Marvin Kalb, CBS News, the State Department.
37,000 refinery workers went on strike today in the Iranian oil fields, and reports reaching Tehran say the shutdown is total. The government is publicly referring to it now as a general strike. The workers are demanding higher wages and the end of martial law. They're also demanding that the former chief of the Iranian secret police, Nematullah Nasiri, be put on trial. Nasiri resigned recently as ambassador to Pakistan and went home to answer charges of corruption and misuse of power. A vote of censure against Prime Minister Jafar Sharif Amami was taken today in the Iranian parliament. He survived it without difficulty, but the vote indicated discontent with his handling of the country's mounting political crisis.
Match Game PM. Live. Lights Up for Laughs, tonight on Channel 7 at 7:30. Bonnie Franklin and Bill Daly join matchmakers Richard Dawson, Brett Summers, and host Gene Rayburn for fun that can't be matched. That's Match Game PM, 7:30 tonight on Channel 7.
Weather for the transition from the end of October to the start of November. Today, intervals of sun and clouds. Bob Harris at the Weather Center looks for a high of perhaps 63 degrees for Halloween night and the kids tonight. Considerably cloudy. It will become breezy, and overnight the low will be 41 to 46. All Saints Day, Wednesday, a mixture of clouds and sun again. Perhaps a high tomorrow of about 57, and sunny and in the 60s, we think, on Thursday. The barometer 34.5 and steady. Sunny skies, 53 degrees Fahrenheit, 12 Celsius in New York.
The United States Supreme Court hears arguments today on this question. Can public officials suing for libel compel journalists to reveal the thoughts and conclusions that went through their minds while preparing a news story? Fred Graham has details.
The issue arose out of a $44 million libel suit brought by former Army Colonel Anthony Herbert against CBS and others after correspondent Mike Wallace broadcast a report on 60 Minutes questioning Colonel Herbert's claim that he opposed U.S. atrocities in Vietnam. To win his case, Colonel Herbert must prove that the journalist broadcast untrue statements about him with actual malice. And in an effort to do this, his lawyer demanded the right to place a CBS producer under oath and grill him about the inner thoughts and motives that went into the editing of the story. In Supreme Court arguments today, attorneys for the journalists will argue that newsmen will be deterred from publishing hard-hitting stories if they can be grilled later about details of the editing process by lawyers for persons who don't like the stories. Colonel Herbert's lawyer will argue that persons who sue journalists for libel will be unable to prove malicious intent unless they can make the newsmen tell about the motives and thoughts that went into the preparation of the disputed news articles. Fred Graham, CBS News, at the Supreme Court.
Another kind of case involving charges of racism is getting attention today in Cleveland, and we'll hear about that from Betty Ann Bowser.
For more than a year now, a Cuyahoga County grand jury has been investigating allegations that some city council members have been taking kickbacks from carnival operators in exchange for permits to do business in the city. Last Friday, 18 indictments were handed down. The charges ranged from bribery and theft to engaging in organized crime. The grand jury, composed of 8 whites and 1 black, is now being labeled as racist because 10 of the indictments were brought against blacks. 6 of them either present or former members of city council. Only 1 indicted council member is white. Last night, more than 1,200 members of the black community packed city council chambers to show support for those indicted. They were led by former Cleveland School Board President Arnold Pinckney.
The recent carnival indictments handed down by the Cuyahoga County Grand Jury has shocked and angered this entire community. It is racist, it is political, it is despicable, and it will not go unchallenged.
Pinckney and other members of the black community have organized a nationwide effort to raise $250,000 to defend the indicted council members. Among them is George Forbes, president of city council and the most powerful black politician in Cleveland. Pinckney and his colleagues say the indictments are nothing short of legal assassination of black elected officials. Betty Ann Bowser, CBS News, Cleveland.
The Coast Guard cutter Cuyahoga, raised yesterday from the bottom of Chesapeake Bay, is now being towed to Portsmouth, Virginia, where it's expected to arrive later this morning. The cutter sank minutes after being rammed by an Argentine freighter October 20th, and 11 Coast Guardsmen were lost.
New York, Emory has some 11 o'clock news for you.
Atlanta, Emory has some 11 o'clock news for you.
Boston, Emory has some 11 o'clock news for you.
Hey there, Windy City. Emory has some 11 o'clock news for you.
In fact, Emory has some 11 o'clock news for the whole country. Some good 11 o'clock news for a change. It's Emory Express, and it's expressly for small packages in a big hurry. Expressly designed to get your small package to where it's going by no later than 11 a.m. and often a lot earlier. For not any more than you'd pay with any other small package express service and often a lot less. Emory Express, with its own planes, its own trucks, its own system. Emory Express, good news that travels fast.
Hey, L.A., wake up. Emory has some 11 o'clock news for you.
This 11 o'clock news was brought to you by Emory Express, the small package service that delivers before the 11th hour.
Nearly 350,000 public hospital employees are continuing a strike for higher pay today in Italy. And Jerry Bowen reports that the nation's 1,300 hospitals have been forced to reduce their services.
Emergency care is still being provided, but non-emergency patients are not being admitted in some cases. And doctors and non-striking nurses have been forced to change beds and help in preparing food because of the walkout. The workers are demanding a salary increase of $50 a month, which the government contends is inflationary. This morning, Prime Minister Giulio Andreotti told Parliament that he would not stall other legislative matters to give special attention to the hospital workers' strike. Previously, he has said the workers' demands are incompatible with the government's austerity program, which calls for nearly a $2 billion cut in public health spending. When asked when he thought this strike might end, Andreotti said only, "That's a good question." Jerry Bowen, CBS News, Rome.
The war of words is escalating between Uganda and Tanzania, and now some fighting seems to be in progress. Tanzania this morning charges that President Idi Amin's troops have invaded its territory, an act of provocation, it says, that cannot be tolerated. This move followed charges by Amin that Tanzanian troops were invading Uganda. The Tanzanian government has issued a so-called war communique that gives very few details of the hostilities.
My name is Sid Lodge, Deputy Inspector, New York City Police Department, retired. In 24 years on the force, I saw a lot of things on the street that I didn't like. But some of the worst were the criminals who preyed on elderly people on Social Security. These hoodlums break into mailboxes to get Social Security checks, or worse, they rob older people on the street. Finally, something's being done about it. Now, if you're on Social Security, you can have your payments made directly to Dollar Savings Bank, and they'll be automatically deposited in a free personal checking account or a high-interest savings account.
That's right, Sid. Now people on Social Security won't have to worry about checks being stolen. Every month, their payment can automatically be deposited into their Dollar Bank account. Come into Dollar Savings Bank, and we'll help you fill out the necessary form. It's the safest and most convenient way to get your Social Security payment. Dollar Savings Bank, the better way. Member FDIC.
Tuesday morning, Halloween day at News Radio 88 WCBS, 14 minutes after 8 o'clock, the 31st day of the month of October. Conrail reporting at 747 Danbury, the South Norwalk train was canceled. They sent some equipment problems on that. The weather story, intervals of sun and clouds today. We expect a high of perhaps 63 degrees, cloudy tonight, and becoming breezy, but no rain for the kids. The overnight low in the 40s, and a nice day like this one again tomorrow, we expect. 53 degrees Fahrenheit at the Weather Center at WCBS in Midtown Manhattan. That's 12 on the Celsius scale. Good morning, I'm Jim Donnelly.
Good morning, I'm Lou Adler. Among the stories we're watching, the fire department had to call four alarms this morning in order to get enough men and equipment to College Point in Queens to stop fire racing through a row of homes. Art Athens reports from the scene.
The four-alarm blaze broke out at 3 this morning. Harry Ferry was awakened by his brother-in-law. He grabbed his wife and they stumbled down the stairs and out.
I got up, I ran out. I ran down to my sister's house. I went into the backyard. I went into my basement. My brother and I hooked up a garden hose and tried to get to the fire, but it was too much smoke. I couldn't get to it. And then after that, when we got out, then the fireman finally came.
Five attached houses totally destroyed, four of them occupied by relatives of Harry Ferry. Miraculously, only minor injuries. Everyone awoke and got out in time. The Ferries and their relatives say they may have lost everything, but they still have each other, and they feel that's the main thing. In College Point, this is Art Athens.